Yes, well, here in Scotland, in the whole country, we have a population of less than 5 million. And of those 5 million, perhaps about 750,000 are Catholics. Not all, of course, are practicing Catholics, but they're scattered throughout the length and breadth of Scotland, mainly concentrated on the central belt, more in the west of Scotland than in the east of Scotland. But when I say central belt, that belt which goes between Glasgow and Edinburgh. They're about 45 miles apart, but there is that cultural divide between, well, Edinburgh is the capital city. Glasgow received great influx of Irish immigrants over the years, and consequently that's why it has a higher proportion of Catholics. And basically, as you go from west to east, the percentage of the Catholics decrease from about some areas 1 in 3 to about 1 in 10.
You've also got a lot of islands, haven't you, scattered around the coast, and that presents a huge challenge, doesn't it?
It does, for the bishops in these areas just getting about. But the islands in the west coast of Scotland are strong in the faith. Many of them were untouched at the time of the Protestant Reformation, and of course they're almost 100% Catholic. So again, that helps solve some of the problems, but increases the difficulties in the bishops having regular contact with their people out there.
Now, Scotland has also seen a huge influx of immigrants, many of them from other Catholic countries, Poland, South America, the Philippines. How has that altered the face of the church, and what challenges does it present?
Yes, well, it has boosted our faith. I think we've been in great admiration for the immigrants from former Eastern Europe, particularly the Polish people. And we already have had here in the east of Scotland a number of Polish priests already ministering in our parishes, like the Palatine Fathers in particular. And since the latest influx, Salvatorian Fathers have come as well. And then a number of priests released from their own diocese to work with the immigrants. And consequently, in Scotland itself, there must be about 25 priests, Polish priests, ministering to the new influx of Polish people who are here. We have a Filipino priest in our cathedral, and there are 5 priests of the Syro-Malabar Rite, the Indian Rite, looking after our Indian communities. So I think that's one of the ways in which we've faced the problem, and it's helped having these priests willing to come from their home countries. Just as some decades ago, when there was a great immigration of Italian people or Irish people, well, priests came from Italy and Ireland to help them.
Now, historically, Scotland suffered from bitter sectarian divisions between Catholics and Protestants. How much, first of all, has that been really overcome today?
Well, one might say that there is still a certain sectarianism visible in Scotland, particularly perhaps in the west of Scotland rather than the east of Scotland. The Catholic community, when they grew in numbers, had basically been working class. But of course, they've worked their way up through literally every profession now, and consequently, far more respected than ever before in our country. The Catholic Church plays, of course, its full role in the ecumenical movement here in Scotland. We're full members of what we call ACTS, A-C-T-S, Action of Churches Together in Scotland, play a leading role in that. So I think the sectarianism still is evident from time to time, but not in the horrible way in which it once was.
What about interfaith dialogue? Is this a priority for the church there in Scotland today?
I wouldn't say it's the great priority because of the relatively small proportions of peoples of other faiths coming into Scotland. It's not in the same proportion as with regard to the Presbyterian Church of Scotland or the Scottish Episcopal Church, the church in full communion with the Anglican Church. But we do have good relations with those of other faiths. We have a national interfaith council and so on, bringing us together, commemorating feast days and working together on matters of social care, social concern. And I think that's one of the basic ways in which we do grow together when we realise the common problems round about us at this present time socially and work together to try to eradicate the problems as best we can.
Now, how has the recent recession affected the people of Scotland, especially in the inner city areas which already suffered from severe economic and social difficulties? And what is the church, above all, trying to do to support them?
Well, I think we must never forget the role of what we might call our own traditional societies, the St. Vincent de Paul Society and the various other charities like that at grassroots level. We have, obviously, through our religious orders or congregations, the Mother Teresa Nuns, the Jericho Benedictines, the Sisters of Mercy, houses and homes available for food, respite and so on, working together with the state and what has been provided with the state as well. That's trying to solve something of the problem, but I think we've also got to work together as Christians in our communities, as Catholics in our communities, bringing proper pressure to bear on the local authorities and on our government here in Scotland, as well as the national government in Westminster, so that we get to the roots of the problem of recession, of homelessness, of people just being hungry round about us. As a Christian body, we've got to help our politicians just to realise what is going on at grassroots level in some of the poorer areas of our communities, particularly, as you indicate, in our larger towns or in the cities. And again, that's another opportunity for ecumenical work together or interfaith work together.